for reading and writing and radio.
Dear Mom, thank you for the hug you gave me yesterday. I wasn't feeling very good, and that warm, soft squeeze of a hug was just what I needed. Your daughter always, Anne.
That poem was written by Anne Cooper of Mrs. Hunter's sixth grade Verdon. But you can write poems too. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
You're a poet and you don't know it. You got Longfellow's. We used to yell that on the schoolyard to kids with big feet. I don't know if kids still yell that sort of verse, but the joke, of course, is that Longfellow was a poet, and you've certainly heard of Hiawatha, By the Shores of Gitche-Gumee, and Listen, My Children, and You Shall Hear of the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. Those are all by Longfellow. And my point today is that we can all be Longfellows. We can all write poetry, and I have several young poets from Verdon here to prove it. Kids, why don't you introduce yourselves, your names, and your grade? Anne, how about you starting?
I'm Anne Cooper, and I'm in sixth grade in Verdon Elementary, and Mrs. Hunter is my teacher.
Okay, and how about you, Becky?
My name is Becky Hendricks, and I'm in sixth grade, and my teacher is Mr. Ugnith.
Okay, and Brad, how about you?
My name is Brad Vincent, and I'm in fifth grade at the Verdon Elementary School. My teacher is Mrs. Corgan.
And we also have Mrs. Corgan here, who's an old friend of Reading and Writing and Radio, and she drove all the kids up. And Rose, if you're good, we'll let you give your opinion once in a while, too.
Thank you.
Why don't we start with a poem by each of you, okay? Becky, I'd like you to read the one that's called The Cat.
The Cat. The cat is up all the night. She runs around the hall, dodging here, diving there, on mice lurking in the wall.
On mice lurking in the wall.
But when the cat walks across the rug, you cannot hear her feet at all.
I love the contrast there. Noisy cat and quiet cat. Okay, Brad, let's hear your poem on Lincoln.
Everyone knew Abe. He was a gracious sight. He fought for what he believed in, the strength in all his might. He fought until he overcame the ones who didn't believe. He fought until he overcame. Finally, slavery had to leave. We never will forget him as long as we shall live. He reached out to his people and loved and talked and gave. Now he's gone and everyone knows, but in our hearts his puzzled face still brightly shows.
Okay, then let's hear another one by Anne. We had her for the opener, but I'd like her to read one now that's a lullaby.
Sweet child of the moonlight, see how softly the flowers dream along the gate. Slumber visions are in your eyes. The night is cool. The moon is pale. The stars are calling you to join them now. And angels dance on cushioned clouds. Join their dance in the realm of dreams.
Well, Anne and Becky and Brad, let me ask you, why do you write poems? I've noticed that much of the work that Anne sends in, for instance, and often Becky, are poems. What prompts you kids to write poems rather than just straight prose? Any thoughts on that?
I don't know. Sometimes you just don't feel like writing a story and you get these, you just want to write a poem instead.
Mm-hmm.
Just to write your feelings.
Do you find that it's easier to write your feelings in a poem than it is to write them straight out?
Yeah, it is a lot.
Well, in my journal, and I don't have anything else to write, I just write poems.
I'm impressed with these kids' journals because they're filled with so many interesting things, and they have prose passages and things that they've written about what has happened, and then they've got poems interspersing, and of course the poems are telling how you're feeling at that time, because if you're prompted to write one, why, that's what's on your mind and on your heart. What makes a poem a poem? For instance, I'm not sure that Anne knew that that Hugs was a poem. You sent it in prose, remember?
Yeah.
What makes it a poem?
I don't know. I'm not sure. It's just...
Anybody got any ideas on that? We can usually tell a poem because of the way it's written. We say, ah, yes, it's laid out in lines, and we say, that's a poem. But I took that Hugs thank you letter of yours and laid it out like a poem, and it's the language. You've got compressed language in a poem that every word counts for more than just what it is, and it makes you feel in a special way when it's a poem, too. But principally, you get pictures, you get images in the poems. And let's take a look at Anne's lullaby that we just had. How softly the flowers dream along the gate. Now, we know flowers don't dream, and yet that gives us a really special feeling when we hear it. And then slumber visions are in your eyes. The stars are calling you to join them. Angels dance on cushioned clouds. You see, you get pictures there. And in Becky's poem of the cat, I wasn't as familiar with that. I didn't see it ahead of time, but you talk about the way the cat is moving, and you get pictures of that. And you gave us pictures of Abe, his puzzled face, and those sorts of things. You see, we get images. And these make the poems come alive. Now, one sort of special image, picture, is what we call a simile. That means when we say that something is like something else. I gave you a little poem there, Brad, by a first grader. Would you read that? His name is Scott Phillips, and I found it in a book called The First Book of Short Verse by Coralie Howard.
Rain sounds like my dog's feet on the kitchen floor.
Like my little dog's feet? Because a little dog, does he say little dog? Yeah. Rain sounds, read it again, Brad.
Rain sounds like my little dog's feet on the kitchen floor.
Now that, you see, is a simile. It's telling us what rain sounds like. And we know what the patter of little claws is on a linoleum floor, and that's like the rain. Dawn Gall is in Mrs. Young's fifth grade at Verdon, and here's a poem that she sent in. Silence is like floating on a lake. This is the first line. So she's comparing silence to floating on a lake. And then she goes on and she expands the picture. When the sun is going down and you're sitting there thinking, watching the pink clouds cover the sun and feeling the gentle breeze and the cool water on your hand, just floating quietly, drifting with the waves. Silence is a great mystery to some, and to others it's their best friend. Now you see there she's giving us all sorts of pictures, and then at the end, that last line, silence is a best friend, that's a more direct comparison. She's not saying silence is like a best friend, she's saying silence is a best friend. And so that's another kind of image that we put in poetry. It's called a metaphor, but all we need to remember is that it's when we say something is something else. You see, and again, coming back to Anne's poem, Cushion Clouds. She doesn't say clouds are like cushions. She says cushion clouds. And we see the clouds then in a certain sort of way, that they are the sorts of clouds that angels can dance on and that babies in dreamland can dance on too. Now, sometimes a whole poem is a comparison. And I have one here by a little girl, Hilda Conklin, who's quite famous. She lived a while ago, and she was 9 years old when she wrote this. Her books have been published. See if you guys can tell me what the comparison is. O little soldier with the golden helmet, what are you guarding on my lawn? You with your green gun and your yellow beard, why do you stand so stiff? There is only the grass to fight. Do you know what that is? O little soldier with the golden helmet that stands on the lawn. Well, there is a title to the poem. It's Dandelion. Do you get that? Oh, little soldier with the golden helmet, what are you guarding on my lawn? You see, and so I wasn't quite fair to you kids because she published the poem with dandelion across the top. So often in a poem, as you've just heard, an object or an idea is given human qualities, when Anne said flowers dream across the gate. Why don't we have another round of poems by all you guys? And where's my list? Becky, how about giving us your pony poem? Have you got it there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Little Pony. Little gray pony trotting down the road, pulling a tiny cart and your very tiny load. You won't stop once unless you see juicy red apples hanging on a tree. Little gray pony, is it you I see coming down the road toward me? Little pony, fat and gray, is it you I see going on your way?
All right, now let's have a horse poem. What's the title, Anne, of your horse poem?
The Silver Stallion.
Yeah, that's better than horse poem. Much more poetic. The Silver Stallion, okay.
Look, there, upon the reef, is the Silver Stallion standing so proud. The foam of the sea leaps upon his hooves. He arches his graceful neck and nestles his muzzle in the golden sand. He gallops off like a sleek feather on a whistling wind, and gracefully leaps over a rotting log laying by the shore, being dampened by tiny waves of water. His mane swishes fully with the movement of his body, and his long, swirling tail swings back and forth as he canters up a steep hillside. Then skillfully he dodges, weaving in and out of the tall cedar trees. His silver flanks glimmer in the moonlight, and his dark eyes seem almost mysterious as he stands, whinnying at the stars. When the dawn arrives on silent wings, he nibbles on some peaches that have fallen out of the tree the night before and were starting to rot on the moist soil. Then he trots slowly to a freshwater spring to quench his thirst, and on the travel he admires the beauty of the land and sea and is grateful to be alive. When the silver wonder arrives, he bends down to sip the cool, fresh water. When his thirst is quenched, he follies off to meet the adventures of the new day.
Now, isn't that filled with beautiful pictures? We had the little pony pictures, and then we have the silver stallion pictures. And you notice that there was a simile in there when she said, like a sleek feather on a whistling wind. That was the way the horse ran, wasn't it? Okay, let's hear your poem, Brad, on wind.
Wind is a breeze that blows the trees.
Start again. Wind is a breeze that blows the trees.
Wind is a breeze that blows the trees. Wind is the air that blows your hair. Wind is a hard hit in a bottomless pit. Wind you cannot see, but you can when it blows a tree. Wind blows the snowflakes across the street, but I just think wind is neat.
So there you have many aspects of wind, from the gentle to the kind that hits you, like when you fall into a bottomless pit. How about subjects for poems? Sometimes people think that poems have to be all sweet and flowers and light and so forth. Do you think that's true? They can be on all sorts of things. When I was in college and was taking a class in writing poetry, one of our first assignments was to go out and write a poem about the junkyard. And this was to show us that there wasn't any subject that couldn't be handled poetically. And I have here a poem by an eight-year-old, which came into Reading and Writing and Radio many years ago, but I've always loved it. It is filled with metaphor, which is saying that this is this. And in a minute, Becky, I'll have you read your black poem. But this one is Gray. It's by Karen Colby. And you'll see that some of these subjects aren't the sort that we think are necessarily poetic. Gray, but think of the pictures. Gray is the color of a lonely tugboat passing by in a polluted river. It is the old mansion's wallpaper down the road where nobody lives anymore. Gray is the color of Rover's vomit after he's had a tuna fish sandwich. It's the smell of burnt steak just roasted and maybe a cheap perfume Mom bought for Mrs. Stellaman's ball. It's the feel of Mr. Mackey's sneeze after he's just gotten rid of the flu, and Mrs. Sneeze, too. It's the color of the TV not working and the Brady Bunch is on. Now, isn't that a marvelous bunch of pictures? Becky, let's hear your pictures on black.
Black. Black is ebony, or a dark shadow dancing on a wall. It's a deep and dark color, the darkest of them all. Black is a coffee spilt on the tablecloth. Black is a feeling you get when you're afraid, or it's a feeling when you don't have a friend. Black is a deep and dark tunnel that doesn't have an end.
You see, that's all metaphors, all figures of speech. Black is, a spill on the coffee table. When you don't have a friend, it gives the feelings, it gives the looks, and so forth. Well, we've got some other poems here that I'd like to be sure that we hear. Anne, how about giving us your Brilliant Sunset poem?
The goddess of the sky decides to put on her brightest gown. She opens her cloudy drawer and shades her eyes from the bursting brilliance. Oh, that I could touch that splendid gown. She majestically dresses and slips a bright, blinding sun around her neck. In her hair, she fastens a pale, chalky moon. On her striking scarlet lips, she glosses some barely visible stars. On her cheeks, she smooths some star wine. Her glimmering orange hair reflects on my face, and her clear white eyes warm me through. Then, suddenly, she looks up quickly and jerks her dainty neck. Ebony, the regal soldier of darkness, chases her across the skyline until she falls through the Milky Way. Ebony looms over every rooftop, guarding against light. In the morn, bright, the little sun boy blinds Ebony until Ebony floats away over Mars. Then bright sits all day, shining on us all, until the sunset.
Oh, that's beautiful. We really should hear all these twice, you know, all these poems, because language is so compressed and you get so many pictures that you need to hear them more than once. Becky, you've got another horse poem there, don't you? We had the pony and then the horse. Let's hear the horse.
Horse. Horse, where are you? Are you off on a ride? Horse, where are you? Where do you hide? You're not in your stable. You're not by the creek. Horse and I are playing hide and seek.
There are various forms for poems. You might have noticed that almost all of the poems that we've been reading today don't rhyme. Some of them have, but a lot of them haven't. And many people think a poem has to have a rhyme or a definite rhythm. But many of the poems that we've read are free verse, and that's where the poets divide their lines according to the natural pauses in their thoughts, and they don't concern themselves about a rhyme. And one thing that so many kids do is that they stretch a poem and ruin it by grabbing for a word that rhymes that's the wrong word. And so today I'd like to urge all of you guys to avoid writing those sort of poems. Try some with free verse, with rhythm, with natural pauses, with strong images, and see what sort of poems that we will turn out. Don't worry about whether they rhyme or not. See if you can get in some comparisons. Use some verse patterns if you want to, but remember, as it says in a book I've read from here, the Book of Short Verse, that your verse patterns are only a container to hold your thoughts and your feelings and your images. So don't make them bend to the verse form. Make the verse form bend to them. Now, I suggest it might be fun in your classrooms to have what I've seen in some schools, which is a poet tree. Have you ever had one of those out at Verdon?
No.
Bring in a regular tree and stick it in the hall somewhere, and then hang on the branches poems. And then people can go by and take a look at, you know, one of those leaves, and it'll have a poem on it, and that'll be a way of displaying them and having others read them. And, of course, you've got, you know, your school newspaper, and you can put them on tapes and read them to others, because poems should be heard, and they should also be seen. And so you could have a reading of the poetry, too, with everybody standing there. So, why don't we finish with the poem, Anne, of yours about spring, because spring seems to be on the way. We're recording this just a few days before you're going to hear it over the radio, and it's suddenly a warm day.
Spring will come, I know it shall, with flowers and green grass and fireflies that drift. Horses will trot through the dewy green meadow. Dragonflies will circle over the warm ponds, and young couples in their rowboats down the rivers shall row. The children shan't stay in their houses. They shall run through the fields full of daisies. Oh, what a time I'll have when I splash through the stream, cool water seeping through my toes. Oh, what a time I'll have. Oh, what a time I'll have.
And oh, what a time we'll all have writing our poems And so thank you, Ann and Becky and Brad and Rose, for bringing the kids up here. And let's hear from all you Longfellows of the various sorts of poems on any subjects that you can send in.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.